some, get some.
Can I get a hell yeah?
Yes, I am a pirate.
You have to go with the pirates, because of course they have cannons and everything.
It's a pirate's life for me.
Be proud of who you are and what you are. You're a pirate.
This is a first down.
Because when you're at East Carolina, you go for it every time. Well, you don't coach at East Carolina. You don't come to East Carolina. You don't play at East Carolina with a weak heart. Write it.
I think I've ever been in a building as loud as that was. It was deafening in there.
Whoever from Omaha, I can promise you that.
And a crumple all night long in Eastern North Carolina.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
Yeah, 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 yeah. My heart is purple and gold. I'm a pirate down to my soul, and I don't back down not at all. Find out when the cannons explode.
All right, welcome into TSO Sunday Night, our bowl selection show. And we have got a great show, I promise you, as we bring in, ladies and gentlemen, Kyle from LaGrange Barber. How are you?
What's going on, Dave? Yeah, we got our bowl announcement today. But first, at the beginning of the show, I'd like to address something. Okay. So, back on Friday, seems like a long, long time ago, just the other day, it was 48 hours ago, we reported on something. That John David Baker was going to be named the new offensive coordinator at Ole Miss, the University of Mississippi, if you will, the Rebels, although their mascot's a black bear now. We reported he would be their new offensive coordinator. And that has not happened. He's not been named their offensive coordinator, but I addressed this over on HTC, how this came to be, and just so to be transparent. It was me. It was Kyle from LaGrange that reported that information. I told Dave, my source. Dave said, go ahead with it, report it. And I don't think we were given bad information. I think we were given overzealous information. My source is a high school football coach in the state of Mississippi. He had got the information from a fellow high school football coach, both playing or coaching for state championships. The other high school football coach is an Ole Miss alum. So the initial source, who is a high school football coach in the state of Mississippi, also gave us the information back in 18 that John Gilbert would be our next athletic director 2 weeks before anybody else had it. We confirmed that information with a reporter down in Hattiesburg named Jamie Arrington back in 18. And we had two sources for that. We reported it and we were right. This one, I would say the only mistake we made, and I'll put most of it on me, was we didn't confirm it with a second source. I reached out to a second source locally who could not confirm it, and I went ahead with the information. And I should not have. I should have waited for that second source. You should always have two sources. And so we reported on something prematurely or perhaps completely incorrectly, but it was not made up, and we trusted the sources that gave it to us. They've been right in the past. Oddly enough, RAD also came from the state of Mississippi. Again, same source. We had two sources for that at the time when we reported it. This time we only had one. And so just want to clarify that. As of, you know, this time, he is still the offensive coordinator at East Carolina. And until further notice, that's his job. We will admit when we get something wrong, but nothing was not made up. We weren't trying to be first. We weren't trying to get the scoop. We legitimately thought we had something, and I shared that information with other reporters in this area or news outlets or whatever you want to call them, media, I guess would be the correct term, and, you know, gave them chances to confirm before they decided to report it. And like I say, I think our only negative was we did not have that second source before we reported it. And so there you go. There's the explanation on that, and I'll shut up.
All right. So welcome in, and yeah, and same thing with, you know, we can talk about the bowl game really fast. I did not put it out on our social media, but I will tell you that for those that said it was incorrect information, it was correct. Something happened this afternoon, but Duke and East Carolina were supposed to play. That was the first effect. I waited for a long time. I have multiple sources on it. So again, things happen like that sometimes, but anyway, let's
talk now. But we didn't report that. That was on your private social media, Dave. I mean, that, you know, if it's not on official social media, yeah. So,
yeah. Anyway, let's bring in Matt Semenza, former linebacker during the Logan era. What's up, bro?
What's up, guys? definitely interesting news tonight. I'll tell you what, we got a very solid matchup in the bowl game against Pitt, who's, you know, when you look at what they've, some of the things they've done under Pat Narduzzi over the years, they've done some really good things, and they've had a few dominant wins so far this year, and obviously a few disappointing losses, you know, to the likes of Notre Dame and Miami to close out the season. But it's a very good opponent, you know. Personally, I have no issue going back to the Military Bowl. I enjoyed it last year. I think Annapolis is a good spot. Pretty convenient for everybody here on the East Coast. So I'm excited about it and looking forward to breaking it down.
No doubt, as we bring in Stevie Fly, our great head coach. What's up, brother?
Kind of disappointed. I'm thinking, since I didn't get introduced before Matt and Kyle, that I'm just going to have to opt out of the podcast tonight so y'all can find me $500,000. You know,
I'm going to shoot your mom in the head. I told you that's what happens when you opt out of things.
I'm gonna have to pull a Notre Dame and opt out of the podcast tonight. So now, all jokes aside, looks like it's gonna be a good matchup with Pitt. I'm excited for it. Military Bowl 2 years in a row. Like Matt said, I don't have a problem with that. But I think it's gonna be a good matchup with Pitt.
Yeah, as we bring in Johnny Robertson, that's one of the things I was gonna mention tonight, guys. I like the fact of the convenience of the bowl. I like the fact my children, my kids, Mackenzie asked me on Thanksgiving night, we're driving home from my sisters from Greenville back to Williamston. She said, "Dad, have they announced about the bowl yet, where we're going?" I said, "No, baby, it'll be a while." And she said, "I really want to go to the bowl game." Well, they'll be with me right after Christmas. So it works out beautifully to have a bowl game. It's not about me, but I like the fact that it gives you something to look forward to, like with all these great guys on the show. When we were able to go up there, spend time like last year. I tell you another thing, guys, the hospitality, and I'm not kissing anybody's butt, but the hospitality from the Military Bowl is second to none. They do a really good job. As Stevie, as a town commissioner, I love their downtown. Their downtown is to die for. I would love to have that downtown, obviously, in Williamston.
It can't beat Lasker. I mean, no way it could beat Lasker's downtown. Okay. I don't even know if we have a downtown.
You have a cornfield.
A what?
A cornfield.
Yeah, we've got several of those.
There you go. Everybody, we will break down the bowl game and talk about that. But just quickly, I gotta ask Stevie, of everybody here watching in North Carolina, obviously Matt in Connecticut and JR up in Virginia, they both get more snow than we do, but they're calling for 2 to 3 inches up Lasker way. Stevie, have you got your milk and bread yet?
Oh yeah, I'm gonna make milk sandwiches more. I'm good. They have a lot of schools already out tomorrow, so they did that Friday too with the schools in Northampton County. They got a out for Friday, and I think we had like 2 flakes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you guys will get snow up your way tomorrow. But Lenoir County Schools, who we're supposed to get a rain snow mix, they're releasing tomorrow at 12:30. I'm like, why? But
can we can we get Bob DeBartolet in here to do a weather report for us?
Who the hell is that?
Oh my God. You don't remember Bob DeBartolet?
WRAL.
Channel 5.
Nah, man, I grew up in Eastern North Carolina, not the Raleigh media market.
Well, I grew up in Eastern North Carolina.
You are. We looked this up.
I'm Virginia.
Virginia sometimes, Raleigh sometimes. Yeah, it just depends. Makes no sense at all. The Greenville media market, but whatever.
Exactly. You're exactly right.
Anyway, so yeah, Matt, I'm really worried.
What about JR? We need to introduce JR.
Hey, thanks, Stevie. Appreciate that.
I'm sorry.
Knight had a question.
He's going to opt out for real if we don't introduce him.
No.
Johnny Stets.
What's up, fellas? Hey, Stevie, Kyle, what's up with the weather for, is that tomorrow?
Tomorrow. Okay.
I'll be heading through Northampton County on Wednesday. I guess it'll be clear by then.
Yeah, you'll be
You need to stop by. You need to stop by the store.
I just might do that in Rich Square.
Yeah.
I've gone that way before. I take a different route every time. Keep it interesting. But hey, this bowl matchup, I'm pleased with it. I like that we're playing an ACC school. I was fired up for Duke, though. I mean, the ACC champion. I thought we had a shot at him, and it just didn't work out that way. But I'll take Pitt. I just hope that the game doesn't end like Pitt's last bowl game did last year. Hey, Kyle, what bowl is it that they play in Detroit? I don't know the name of it.
It used to be called the Motor City Bowl. Yeah. I don't know what they call it now.
It's something sports over – I don't know. Anyhow, they played Toledo in that bowl last year, and it went to 6 overtimes. I'm not ready for 6 overtimes.
It's now called the Little Caesars Pizza Bowl.
That's correct. Oh, yep, wow. You're right. That's correct. Which is a Detroit-based company. I'll take 6 overtimes if we get the same results Toledo
if we
did last
win.
Year.
Yeah,
that's I remember true. Toledo beat Pitt last year.
They lost 48-46.
Who did, Pitt or Toledo?
Yeah, no, Pitt lost to Toledo 48-46.
Well,
6
I wouldn't
overtimes.
Keep that tradition going.
Yeah, go Monica. She knew that. Pitt lost their bowl game against Toledo, but upset to play the Pirates. They lost 6
Monica overtimes. Monica knows her stuff.
Yeah, Monica's on top of things. That's no shocker.
No doubt.
You don't have a sister out there for like Monica Stats and Johnny Stats.
We'd be a team.
No doubt. I tell you what, guys, I love the matchup. And
did we say anything to Matt? Did we welcome in Semenza?
Yeah.
You did. Yeah, you did.
Okay.
All good, man.
I don't remember.
All right. Yeah. Matt, I was going to ask you about that very thing. I know we can talk a lot about the matchups, but we're already hearing the players, different people, maybe the fans are. Saying East Carolina, but you guys, I know, dealt with that in the Liberty Bowl in 95. So the reason I bring that up is, hey, if they're going to be disrespectful to us, that's more power to our program, to have the chip on the shoulder. The team is definitely way better than, obviously 23. We didn't even make a bowl in 23 and 2-10. But our team is playing and headed in the right direction in the program.
No doubt. You're always going to hear that now, nowadays from the so-called P4 teams. They hate playing the likes of, the American Conference and whatnot. But look, you use that to your advantage. A lot of times in these bowl games, whoever wants to be there the most, that counts for a lot. We're going to be ready to play a game. I'm certain of it. And, look, Pat Narduzzi's a good coach, guys. I mean, he's going to have that team ready to play. You look at some of the things Pitt has done this year. I'll give you just some notable scores from some of their games. They did hang 53 on NC State. They won that game 53-34. They beat Georgia Tech, a very solid win, 42-28. Scored 42 points on that Georgia Tech defense, which is pretty impressive. Yeah. And then they also had some weeks where, maybe not quite as impressive. They had a loss to West Virginia earlier in the season, obviously blown out by Notre Dame, and then got absolutely destroyed against Miami in a home game to close out their season. So all in all, losing to Notre Dame and Miami is certainly no, it's nothing to be insulted about, but it's a very good team. They can score. I think they're well coached. We're going to need to be ready to play.
Yeah, I actually think Pitt, even though Duke is the ACC champions, I would have rather had played them because of that, because of the in-state. Pitt's a better team. I think of the two, I'd have rather played Duke. I think it would have been an easier win. Pitt's good. I wonder, how if they're going to have any players opt out. I wonder how interested they're going to be in the bowl. Their fan base is obnoxious, at least the ones on social media. They they act like we have absolutely no chance, and why should we even show up, or more so, why should they show up? They were wondering why their administration just didn't opt out and not go to a bowl rather than playing the lowly Eastern Carolina Pirates. So I hope our fans pay close attention to social media, and I didn't listen to the press conference, Dave. I'm assuming Pat Narduzzi was not disrespectful like their fans, but
not at all. In fact, the very first bowl game that he coached in was with at Pitt was a military bowl. So he talked about that. I think it was 2015, 16, like 10 years ago. So he talked about that. I brought up the fact of asked Coach Harrell about the fact today is I was getting ready to forget, and I'm glad I didn't. Today is obviously Pearl Harbor Day, so to remember the military and how special it is we get this announcement on Pearl Harbor Day. And he gave, you know, it wasn't anything outrageous. And I know, Matt, you had that comment. Matt, did you want to go ahead and do that while we're talking about Coach Narduzzi with about the Notre Dame comment? Do you still have that comment nearby?
Matt still here?
I don't know if Matt, we lost him. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up, Dave. You guys keep talking. I'm going to pull.
Okay, all right. Up so, right now. Yeah, he was very respectful. There was nothing there that like shots fired. Both coaches were on the conference call. It was a Zoom call, and if we have permission, we'll put it up on our social media.
My permission.
You do? Okay.
It was a short one too, so it won't take long to listen to it.
Yeah, like 18 minutes long. Nothing. Nobody asked questions to Steve, the head of the I'll have to look at his name again. But anyway.
Dave, I have the comment if you want it.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. So basically Narduzzi was talking about, you know, he was talking about playing Notre Dame. And I think what he was trying to do was kind of like highlight the importance of winning conference games. But some controversial statements anyway from him. He basically said, famously saying he'd gladly get beat 103-10 against Notre Dame as long as Pitt won their next two ACC games. So, you know, you understand the message and the importance of winning conference games. But at the same time, and Stevie's a coach, so Stevie, I want to ask you your opinion on this, but I never want to hear my coach downplaying the importance of any game. You know, I mean, that's almost the equivalent of like us playing NC State. And if Blake was saying something along the lines of, look, I don't care if we lose the state, but, you know, 100-10, as long as we beat Memphis and North Texas, you know what I mean? It's that type of thing. So I certainly wasn't a fan of that. But Stevie, what are your thoughts on that as a coach?
What kind of message are you sending to your players? I mean, take this game off, you know, don't play hard. I don't agree with it. I mean, it's stupid. You don't want to hear your coach say, as a college, as an organization, as the players, you don't want to hear your coach say, I'd rather lose this game. You want to win every game. I mean, but then to come out and say, I'd rather lose to them than blah, 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 give me a break, dude. That's stupid. I mean, I would never do that as a coach.
And it didn't work either because they lost. They lost big time to Miami by 31 points after that game. So they lost, and then they lost again.
Yep.
Going back to that game, does anybody know? And if you're lost in translation, we're talking about what Pat Narduzzi's comments before the Notre Dame game. Was the question preference to him? I'm assuming he just didn't just say that without, you know, being prompted. Was the question asked to him, you know, how important is this Notre Dame game to you? Notre Dame's top 25 team. This is a big or did he just say it on his own without being prompted?
I don't know.
Because context matters. You know, if he was saying, you know, if somebody asked him how important is this game to you, blah, blah, blah. And he said, well, you know, quite frankly, he still shouldn't have said it the way he did.
No, he shouldn't have said it.
Context does matter. And I would like to know, you know, if that was a statement he just made on his own or if it was the answer to a question.
I'm pretty sure it's in the context
of a press conference type situation where you're talking about the importance of winning against a team like Notre Dame. So it did come in that type of a setting. Yeah. Either way, tough statement to make there. And, you know, Narduzzi, he's not a wallflower. I mean, this guy, he's not afraid to bring it in his press conferences. And he'll criticize people. He'll, you know, fairly oftentimes. But he's definitely has made some controversial statements in the past.
By the way, guys, this is like ACC football. There's a guy that says on here, this is our punishment for losing to West Virginia.
Okay.
We'll see what punishment is.
We hope, the Pitt fans are very down on this bowl and East Carolina. By the way, the line is 6. Pitt is a 6-point favorite. If I remember correctly, NC State was a 6-point favorite in that bowl last year.
That's correct.
So hopefully is a good omen.
Who is Pitt to be down on playing us in a bowl game? I mean, who is Pitt? Just because you're in the ACC, which is not obviously not the conference it used to be with your ACC champion not even make the playoffs. But who is Pitt to be downplaying any bowl game at all, to tell you the truth? What, 4 losses this year?
Exactly, Stevie. It's a good point. We're not talking about a team that's actually, you know, been competing.
I mean, it's not like they're 10-2.
Right, or is very rarely in the last 30 years. So, I mean, they should be pretty happy with this bowl game.
Yanni, who was the coach back then with Pitt? Tony Dorsett ain't playing in the backfield. This ain't your national championship.
You know what? I'm going to defend Pitt a little bit, and this is going to surprise y'all. And I don't think it's Pitt's fault. And I don't think it's because our fans are the same damn way. And we're a friggin' so-called group of five. That group of five, pardon my French today, bullshit, gets shoved down your throat so much that even our fans will sit there and go, I ain't one play Georgia Southern in the Myrtle Beach Bowl because you're a group of five pony from the Sun Belt. So how do we expect Pitt not to go, I don't want to play East Carolina, they're a group of five school, and we do the same crap. So until that nonsense is taken out of our vernacular, group of five and power four, and by the way, power four is an illusion. It's only power two. It's only the Big Ten and the SEC. There's no power four. You've got no power, ACC. You've got none. So, but until that crap is taken out of our vernacular, I don't even really blame their fans. As much as I hope our team uses it as motivation and fire, we would have the same stinking attitude if 8-4 we were sent to the Myrtle Beach Bowl to play Georgia Southern. We'd be saying the same crap. So I as much as I hope we use it as motivation, I think part of it is, or the biggest part of it is ESPN and media's fault for this group of five narrative.
Kenneth says some of our fans would say the same thing if we're playing Western Michigan and Myrtle.
Yep. Exactly. That's exactly what I was just saying. I use Georgia Southern as an example.
Yeah. Well,
hey, I was going to throw out there, though, Tony Dorsett's coach at Pitt was future Vol legend Johnny Majors.
Johnny Majors,
And then after him, another legend, Jackie Sherrill. So those were good days at Pitt.
Yeah, when you had Dan Marino there, and then, those two guys, Pitt was like such a powerhouse, back then. But one of the things that frustrates me when you're talking about that, Kyle, is the fact that I don't know if you guys saw last night, but definitely today when they had selection show. But I'm sorry, but these talking heads, one of the things I was telling Johnny a week or two ago is that we're not talking heads. We're actually guys who have different reasons why we love the Pirates. Obviously, Matt played. I know Stevie's been a fan for many, many years, and he's a high school coach. You have Kyle, who became a fan in the early 90s?
No, when I was 13 years old.
Okay. But and Johnny's like amazing with fans. But to act like that the group of five doesn't belong in the playoff is outrageous. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but I will say this. Nick Saban, and thank you, Conan 92 Pirate, He said he hates Nick Saban's face. For him to have the audacity to our people in college football are clueless about growing college football. And it makes me angry because Kyle's made this point, so I'm not going to steal his comment, but he's made the point of how can ESPN allow their broadcasters to put down a conference like the American who, wait for it, they have our games. We go through ESPN and ESPN Plus. We're part of that package, that TV deal. So we're part of their product. So I just have a problem with them being so snooty. They want to get rid of the championship games now, and they want to get rid of this and that. And, you know, it's just frustrating for me because...
Well, I didn't watch the whole thing. It was Saban. I'm assuming it was Saban.
Yes, all of them. But Saban was one that he wants to get rid of the group of five, basically, in the playoffs.
Okay, how many people would get excited about the NCAA basketball tournament if we didn't invite any of the teams outside of the power conferences? It'd be boring. Nobody wants to see that.
Somebody, either Tulane or James Madison, and it's hard to beat a team twice, and Tulane goes to Ole Miss. Ole Miss already played them once this year. Somebody needs to win one of these playoff games, and that'll shut some people up.
Yes, I agree, Kyle.
That'll shut some people up, but... No, look, here's the deal. I hate this term. So-called group of five should not be shut out of the playoff. If they want to change the language to say the four power four champions get in and then one champion from the group of six gets in, if they want to reword it that way, whatever. But they should not completely exclude us. You know, I think there's probably going to be talk now of going to 24. And if they go to 24, then there should be two spots to the so-called group of six. And it will be group of six when the Pac-12 joins. But to completely exclude us, to me, would be a lawsuit. I think you would have to have a lawsuit. And then a caveat, you know, I think Saban said there should be a caveat that our champion has to be in the top 12 or at least top 15. I heard him say that not today, but... Yeah. I don't know if he said it today or not, but it was previous. Well, I mean, why is that caveat not on everybody? I mean,
And let me throw this at you too, Kyle. Think about it from this perspective too, right? The P4, they will not play in your stadium, all right? And I don't mean that just for East Carolina. How often do you see an SEC team or a Big Ten team travel to anyone outside the P4? So you don't get them on your home field. If you're going to play them during the season, it's either going to be, you know, maybe at a neutral site somewhere if you're lucky, but most likely in their building, like we're going to Alabama next year. You have everything stacked against you. You're always going to play them on the road, and now they want to exclude you. And I'll tell you guys, I'm just being straight up. This format will not last. There's just too many voices against inclusion of anyone outside the P4. And, you know, Saban today was beating the drum. Danny Cannell was beating the drum. They're not going to let this stand. Like, the fact that JMU and Tulane are in the playoff, they will never, ever let that stand. I call it the good old boys club of college football.
Somebody's got to win. And if Tulane does beat Ole Miss, guess where their next game would be?
I don't know. I don't have it in front of me.
Sugar Bowl, New Orleans.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, Indiana? No.
No, I think they get Georgia.
That's Alabama.
I think they get Georgia.
Yeah. That sounds right, Kyle. Yeah, here's another thing Ken is putting up. They want to have where we have our own playoff, and for me, I'm going to tell you something right now. I told Johnny this the other night. If they break away like they're talking to, I will never watch those games again. And I can tell you that right now, I will have no use for them. And so they need to think about all the eyeballs that they think they're so cocky and arrogant. They think that the people will still watch, and they have no idea that most people won't watch it. Some people will, but most won't.
I don't know, D. I'll give you another. American sports fans have proven that you can spit in their face and they will continue. I mean, look at what the NFL has done on many occasions with political messaging. You know, even this year going as so far as having a guy like Bad Bunny as your halftime performer, in my opinion, which is very controversial. Some of the statements he's made, NFL fans, you can spit in their face and they're going to continue watching football every week. So I don't know. I'll tell you, like, I agree with you, Dave. I'm just like you. I wouldn't watch it. I would give it up in a heartbeat. But I think 9 out of 10 fans would continue to watch it.
Well, what I want to know is, you know, and I think the problem with this whole thing, you know, is really you put it on the shoulders of the ACC. I think if it was just Tulane in, if the ACC had the correct metric for their tiebreaker and you'd have had UVA and Miami in the championship game, this wouldn't be really being discussed right now. The problem is that there's two so-called group of five teams in the playoffs.
But
you really put this on the ACC.
Here's the deal. It's very simple. All you have to do is go to 24 teams, like Kyle was saying. You have, what, 9 conferences right now?
It'll be 10 starting next year.
10. Okay, so you put the 10 in. 10 conference champions.
Oh, they're not going to do that.
Oh, they won't do it, but I'm just saying.
I'd be happy. Go to 24 and give the 4 so-called Power 4 conference champions a spot, and then give the group of 6 2 spots, and then the other – so 22 out of 24 spots would go to the Power 4.
They're not going to do that, though, because here's what here's the problem they have. They – don't
I'm not sure. I think that, dude, I think they know with the way things have happened with lawsuits and NIL and all that kind of crap, I think they know that they would lose the class action lawsuit. I think that's why it's written out like it is now. And I think unless they truly break away and we form 3 divisions of Division I, we have FBS, whatever the hell we would be, and then FCS, or Power 5, Group of 5, FCS, unless it's truly 3 divisions, I don't think they can truly exclude us without a lawsuit, and I think they know that.
They can't, and guess what? They would do, and I was telling Johnny, okay, I can't talk about my team this year in the pros because they're god-awful and a lot of injuries, but every team, if you win ball games in NFL and you win enough ball games and you win your division or the wild card, you get in, okay? There's a clear path. The sad thing is that right now, even with all the stuff we have going on right now, they're going to do everything they can to make sure that it has to be Alabama in every year. They didn't get in last year, but that was a miracle. Somehow that didn't happen. But they want to make sure it's a made-for-TV event to keep it that way. And they want to make sure that, you know, I don't feel bad for Notre Dame at all. They didn't. They had a chance. They could have gone 12-0. They could have gone 11-1. They're not in a conference. I don't feel bad for them at all. What I feel bad about is there's a lot of fans out there that if you had the conference champions, those games, you want to talk about viewerships, I would watch a lot more of the college games because all of a sudden those games really matter. Like the different conferences of the Group of Five or even the so-called Power Four, I would be watching more of those games, random games. Let me see who's going to win this game. But the problem with our people that we have in college football, we have the wrong people running college football. NFL is always going to be king. NFL is number one. You know why? Because you have the idiots and morons of college football who they can't get it out of their way. They have to have it. They have to have it rigged. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it. They have to have it
rigged. I don't know how rigged it is. I actually thought I watched the UVA Duke game. I didn't watch much of the Ohio State game because I didn't really care. And I was thinking that UVA was going to get, you know, some questionable calls go their way just to, you know, help ensure that the ACC got a team in. But it didn't happen, really. I mean, it was a well-officiated game. But I truly believe if Virginia won that game, then I don't think Miami gets in over Notre Dame. I think that they just had to have an ACC team in there. And then Miami, you know – the fact that they were behind last week in the polls, and they jumped them, but neither team played a game. Like Notre Dame was 9 and they were 10, and then neither team played a game, but they somehow jumped them. And, you know, why didn't the committee just last week, speaking of running things badly, Dave, why didn't the NCAA see this possibility coming and say, hey, man, just to be safe, we should really flip those two teams so that if Virginia doesn't win, it doesn't look like we're, you know, just moving a team that didn't play ahead of a team. The whole system needs to be redone.
Do you think two things on this? I'll make this point. Notre Dame declined in a bowl game, and I know a lot of people were hard on Notre Dame for that, and I guess rightfully so. But I do have a question about this. Notre Dame brings a lot of eyeballs to the TV, and I wonder if the reason they declined the bowl game was as a middle finger to ESPN, because whatever bowl game they were going to go to,
yep,
most likely was going to be on ESPN or ABC. So I wonder if they did it as a middle finger to ESPN. Yes. Because I'm going to tell you, when I watched that preview show, everybody go back and watch the preview show over again if you DVR'd it or if you can find it. I don't archived or whatever. I watched, up to the point where the seating was announced, and I turned it off because I didn't care about hearing everybody's opinion. I read between the lines of what was being said, and I told Jessica, my wife, I said Notre Dame's going to get left out, Alabama and Miami's going to get in. I figured it out just reading between the lines about what was being said. I think that I don't think it's rigged, so to speak, but I think that, you can kind of figure out what's going to happen by the way those guys are talking in that room before the committee announces anything. If you pay attention, you can read between the lines.
It's manipulated maybe a little bit, Kyle, maybe not rigged, but okay. So somebody asked Hunter Yurecek, who was the committee chair, how did that happen? I mean, to their credit, there were some journalists asking hard questions to the committee, and Yurecek said, "Oh, I can tell you, I have an answer for that. We made everybody that's voting rewatch the Miami Notre Dame game because that was early in the season.
It was on loop.
And we wanted everyone to get it, a refresher. So we made them rewatch that entire game. And then after they did that, everyone's consensus was, Miami's better.
You know, JR, they on the ACC network, they showed that game on loop like three or four times in a row on the ACC network the other day.
Well, why didn't they have them rewatch Alabama, Florida State?
guess who lost?
That's what I mean.
No, I don't agree with Alabama not being left out. I feel like Alabama is not one of the top 10 teams in the country. There is no way, not how they've played the last three or four games.
I'm totally with you, JR.
But they're in they made the SEC championship. So, I mean, if you're going to punish a team for losing the championship game when Texas A&M and Mississippi and Oklahoma didn't have to play in it and they couldn't move down, then you can't have conference championship games anymore. You got to do one or the other. So, but I was surprised that they didn't move them to 10. They kept them at 9. That surprised me because now, they're favored going into Oklahoma. They're having a rematch with Oklahoma and Norman. And Miami's got the tougher assignment. They got to go to Kyle Field at Texas A&M. That place is going to be insane. So,
what is Oklahoma's record?
They're a two-loss team. They're 10-2.
Yep. Who did they lose to?
Okay. They lost to Texas. They lost to Texas and I think Mississippi.
Okay. I just haven't been overly impressed with Oklahoma and I've watched them play this year.
They've been a quiet team.
Yeah. So to me, that's who I would have left out and put in Notre Dame. I mean, honestly.
Well, defensively, they're outstanding.
I think they are.
Brett Venables.
Yeah. Offensively, they're a little challenged. And, the team that I really wanted to see get in, I didn't mean to cut you off, Kyle, if I did, but I really wanted to see Vandy get in. That's a team that's it's questionable. Are they on the fringe? I think they're a playoff team. I think they're that good. What they're doing down there with Pavia, it's a fun team to watch. That was one I would have liked to see get in, but
– I was just going to say, Matt, don't worry, because apparently he's going to try to get another year of eligibility. So, you might be able to see him again next year. I've had my fill of him, to
be
honest with you.
He's like 35, isn't he?
Yeah. I've had my fill. Because, Vanderbilt, it's a disservice to the other guys on that team. That's a talented team with a great coach. But all anyone ever talks about is Diego Pavia and his mom. I mean, that's all right. We hear about, and I'm tired of it. So I hope Vandy does well when he leaves, but I've had enough of him personally.
It shows you how much I pay attention to the SEC. What the hell does Diego Pavia's mom have to do with anything?
Oh my goodness. They can't stop showing her on camera, and she's dating who the hell was she dating, Matt?
Is she hot? I mean,
there was something happened earlier in the year. Who's the podcaster he's incredibly famous. With the long hair. Yeah, he was on Game Day one time this year.
Kyle from the
funny guy. He's funny.
Kyle from the Grays. Yeah. Well, exactly.
He said funny, Kyle.
He made a comment of something that if Vandy beat Alabama, if Vandy beat Alabama, that he would take his mom on a date or something. Something.
Oh,
happened
Theo
like
Vaughn. Theo Vaughn.
Yeah.
Theo Vaughn. There you go. There you go. I couldn't pull it.
Yeah. I love that podcast he did with the Amish dude. That's one of the greatest. You want some podcasting gold? Find that episode of Theo Vaughn with the Amish dude. That's great stuff.
I agree.
You know,
Matt, did I cut you off that time?
No, sorry. I was coughing my head off over here.
Hey, before we move on, Matt, I'm sorry. I think I just cut you off. In regards to, before we stop talking about Vanderbilt, their AD, he's saying, don't worry. This rev sharing is turning the tables, and we're going to be relevant for the foreseeable future because we're in this game now. And it's leveling the field. Other people thought that rev sharing was going to have further separation. But according to, you know, Clark Lee and his AD, they're going to be around for a long time. And, they're going to be just as relevant as Alabama. So we'll see. We'll see if that happens or not.
Yeah. Well, in terms of revenue from the SEC, I mean, in terms of creating your own revenue, somebody's got their notifications on it. It sounds like there's an explosion every few minutes in the background. In terms of revenue sharing from the conference itself, yeah, Alabama's going to get this. Vanderbilt's going to get the same thing SEC. Jesus Christ. Vanderbilt's going to get the same thing Alabama does or LSU does in terms of revenue sharing from within the conference revenue. And there's a lot of money coming straight from the SEC. So I think it does even the field. Now, Alabama will create more revenue on their own. But in terms of the biggest piece of the pie, it comes from your conference revenue. And I do think within the conference itself, SEC, ACC, Big Ten, or the American, I do think it kind of evens the playing field within your conference.
It does, and especially with the cap. I mean, it's a $20 million hard cap, right?
It is with revenue sharing, yes. Right. But you can have NIL deals after that on your own. They just have to go through a clearinghouse.
Right.
See Texas Tech on that one.
Which are my understanding is that those are a lot harder to come by now. But, yeah, I mean, it's essentially a salary cap like you see in the NFL and the NBA, and that's where you get parity. That's where you get competition across the entire league. It's really a salary cap. So, yeah, Vanderbilt's going to be far more competitive. And that's the way it should be, man. Everybody should have a chance to compete. This is America. I mean, you know, college football has been the most un-American sport that there is. College basketball is the opposite. Everybody gets an opportunity. That's why people love it. Not college football.
No doubt. And by the way, Matt, you want to talk about a school that, like, they had their eyes opened up, and that's Vanderbilt. Because they haven't paid attention like Duke and the ACC finally did. But Vanderbilt was another one that they were not putting money towards sports, athletics, maybe baseball, the only one. But then all of a sudden now, that school has a lot of money. They have a lot of cash. And they
sounded like Donald Trump right then, Dave. I'm glad to hear that.
You're fired.
I did, John. A lot
of
money,
a lot of cash.
But anyway, so they
Kyle, was that your Trump man? We got to hear that one.
There's a lot of money. Matt's the greatest. He's the greatest linebacker to ever play at East Carolina. He's the best.
Love it.
Yeah. But anyway, my point is they finally realized, oh, wait a minute. If we take the money that we have and put it in athletics, I mean, they've got a beautiful campus. They have plenty. I mean, I don't even know what the what their endowment is, but it's ridiculous, Matt. Do you know, or does anybody know their endowment? But it's ridiculous. But they have plenty of money there.
Vandy?
Yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're well endowed, Kyle.
I mean, just look at the name. The Vanderbilt family is one of the richest families in American history.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, but you know what? I'll say this, and as we sit here and we go on and on about the playoff and the SEC and the Vanderbilt, and we're an East Carolina podcast and we have a bowl game, and we've barely talked about the bowl. We've been sitting here talking about the playoffs and the SEC. We're just as bad as ESPN and the rest of them.
Well, yeah, no doubt.
We got 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. But
yeah, let's talk. I'm ready to talk about it, Kyle.
Go for it.
Right. Yeah, let's
go ahead. Go ahead, Derek.
Well, no, I didn't mean like, well, I was just going to say that, you know, Matt mentioned, you know, they did lose at West Virginia. But, you know, they have a freshman quarterback, Mason Heinschel. And after game four, Pitt was 2-2, including that loss at West Virginia. And they went to him as the starter. He reeled off 5 wins in a row. And, you know, they beat Boston College and NC State. Now, they pounded NC State, as Matt said, at home. And then they went on the road at Tallahassee, at Syracuse. And those, no matter how those teams are, those are hard places to play normally. And then they had to do that East Coast, West Coast thing and play at Stanford. And they won that game easily. They averaged 40 points a game on offense over those 5 wins. And then, you know, they had the 2 losses to Notre Dame and Miami sandwiched with a Georgia Tech win. So they finished strong after they switched to Heinschel. And he's only a freshman, so he's not going to be opting out of this bowl, I don't think. And, you know, so it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah. Their OC, who is the head coach at Western Carolina's son, he is coming up for a lot of other OC jobs. I don't know if he's going to leave Pitt, but his name is coming up for a lot of other jobs. So that's something to watch out for in the coming days, if he'll still be there. But, you know, as we, you know, like JR said, 3 weeks to break down this, you know, game with Pitt. But, you know, I know we all made the trip to Annapolis last year, except for Stevie. But in terms of listeners, just curious from our listeners, how many made the trip to Annapolis last year? How many of our listeners are planning on going this year? And if you're planning on going this year, did you go last year? I mean, last year was such an incredible experience, beating NC State, the bowl parade, everything, you know, except maybe the weather about the trip last year was fantastic. It's, you know, it's a first-class bowl game in terms of how it's ran. Annapolis is a great little city. And if you're going up there from Eastern North Carolina and you want to avoid as a tip, I was trying to remember this, JR, thanks for the help with that. But here's a tip. If you're coming up from Eastern North Carolina and you want to avoid the DC area and just go straight into Annapolis and your GPS, put in, oh God, now I can't think.
La Plata, Maryland, or Waldorf, Maryland. It's exit 104, Carmel Church, Bowling Green.
Yeah.
And you head east, obviously.
Yeah, put in La Plata or Waldorf, or what you do is put in Annapolis with a stop in La Plata or Waldorf, and that'll take you going, once you get north of Richmond, you'll go east, and you'll avoid the D.C. area. So for anybody traveling up, it's a very relaxing drive. We enjoyed it last year quite a bit, and just the drive up, you get to see a lot of the country in rural Virginia and rural Maryland. And so just curious to our listeners, how many people went last year and how many people will be going this year that went last year?
I did have, by the way, I want Matt, I want to get your comments and the guys chime in on this. I got a message from one of our listeners and viewers from, this is not that person, but it was a Pirate fan in general, said, I'm a season ticket holder and I've been for years and there's no way I would spend one penny of this piece of bloop matchup. Pitt accepting this invite is basically saying, we agree, we are a pathetic program. They can't do any better. This is a Pirate fan. A Pirate fan. So
a just, Pirate
no,
fan?
I would dispute that.
That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make, yeah.
It sounds like it's written from
a Pirate fan you know, Dave?
No. It's a Pirate fan that we all know. that sent me. This was on Twitter.
Oh, he didn't write it.
A pirate fan didn't write it. No, I thought.
It is a pirate fan that we know that another pirate wrote this on Twitter.
Yeah, I know the pirate fan that sent it to you because he sent it to me too.
Okay,
but I'm gonna call a spade a spade. I don't think that was a pirate fan that wrote that.
Okay,
I think he. That guy could have been cosplaying as a pirate fan, but that comment doesn't even make any sense.
No. It's got troll written all over it.
Yeah, it doesn't even make sense. Why would the wording of that doesn't make sense? Put up, change the subject just briefly. Put up Kenneth Maynard's comment. What do you guys think of that? JMU's been consistently good.
Yeah.
We don't have the Virginia market. It would be a regional rival for East Carolina. I actually like that idea.
I do too.
I said it 2 years ago because I've watched JMU.
We're trying to take Kenneth.
Yeah, no. I'm going to go find it. I'll text it to you. Hey, no, seriously. I've been watching JMU, and here's the funny thing. I rooted for them at first because I knew people that went there, and you know when they were FCS and we were FBS, it was okay if they were winning championships, but now that they're FBS. They're on a rapid rise, facility wise, team wise, and I think that if they were in our conference, it would be a huge asset, and it would make for better travel and scheduling everything.
Well, let's kick Charlotte out and put them to the Sun Belt and just try.
Amen.
Them.
Amen.
We're at 13 members for football, right? That was close to 14.
Matt's gonna be upset with you, Kyle, because.
No, I hated the idea of, you guys know, I mean, I've talked about this for 5 years. The idea of putting Charlotte in was just a disgrace. I would have went with App State way before Charlotte because, you know, and not to get off too far into this topic, but, you know, ESPN gets so obsessed with media markets. Like they, you know, I guess Charlotte, you know, they wanted that media market, just like the Big Ten apparently wanted Rutgers because they thought they would capture the New York market. But look, I'm all about game day atmosphere. I'm about proud programs with tradition. You know, Charlotte had none. App did. JMU, obviously, like JR mentioned, a program that's rapidly on the rise and
how about
doing
this?
Great things.
Yeah, JMU, Liberty, and App would be. I don't know if I want to go that heavy into this area. I mean, good God,
it's a complete restructuring.
Yeah. But I would like JMU of those three to drop, man.
Rice,
yeah, and I'm going to tell you what. UAB is just. I really thought when they reformed and got that new stadium in downtown Birmingham, and UAB has a little bit of name recognition, and then who did they? Didn't they hire their friggin' offensive or defensive coordinator to be their new head coach? Yeah. And I mean, after they were horrible this year, and then he really didn't do anything as interim, he upset Memphis without their starting quarterback. Yeah. I mean, I don't really know what kind of commitment they have to football. And at some point, you really – I thought the UAB ad wasn't bad when it was first made.
Right.
But unless Bill Clark's – and not to be confused with our Bill Clark, but unless their Bill Clark's going to come back, I think UAB's hot garbage.
Yeah. Well, they do have the nicest indoor – practice facility in the country, probably, Kyle. So I think they're.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for picnics.
It's a shelter, right, Matt? It's a shelter.
Correct. It's a weird looking building, man. If you ever see it in person, it's just, it's essentially, yeah, it's a shelter. That's exactly a good way to put it. It's a shelter with, you know, with a 50 foot high ceiling with no sidewalls. Very interesting.
I was looking into it to have for our next family reunion. I thought about renting it out.
Wow. You're going
hey, talking about JMU, I just, before we get rid of JMU, I just want to say that the AD that hired Mickey Matthews and Mike Houston and Kurt Cignetti and Bob Chesney, all of them were like just home runs, grand slams. He retired. So the new guy, this is his first hire, is Billy Napier. What do y'all think about that?
I think Billy Napier will be fine there. I don't think he'll take them to the heights that they're at now. Can he sustain it? I don't know. I do think that AD was incredible. He did an incredible job at JMU. This home run higher after home run higher. Even Mike Houston there.
It was good.
Yeah, there. Yeah. So, I don't know, man. Napier, he had success at Louisiana. He wasn't horrible at Florida. Well, you know, I guess he was. I don't know, man. That's that hasn't been what they've been doing. They've been hiring up-and-coming coaches from the FCS, and it's worked for them. And I don't know why you would change what you're doing when what you're doing has been working. They've done it. Was Chesney, was he an FCS coach before they hired him?
Yeah, he was at he was at Holy Cross, where he had a lot of success.
Yeah, so there you go. Yeah. Correct, I remember now. So why change what you're doing? You hired Mike Houston from the Citadel. You hired Cignetti from Elon, and you hired Chesney from Elon or from Holy Cross. So why change what you're doing? You've had a pattern of hiring successful FCS coaches, bringing them up even when they were FCS, JMU. And now what you do is you hire a guy who is a retread from an FBS. When you have a pattern of success, when what you're doing is working, why change it? Why wouldn't you find whoever the best FCS coach is out there right now and hire him?
Matt, I wanted to ask you about, because Chrissy, his wife, went to Florida. But for me personally, I think Napier, great coach. And then, well, I'll say not great. I'll say good coach. Let me change that. He goes to Florida. He has a tough time. And to Kyle's point, I mean, when you look at Napier, was that a hire because people knew his name? And so they just said, hey, we can get this guy, Billy Napier, but not knowing that, is he really going to work out there in Harrisonburg?
With Napier is, what is he?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Jared. Go ahead.
No. I'm gonna segue to you. I'm gonna do a short segue to you by just saying that.
Go for it.
This
man.
Season was a little bit unusual, bizarre, actually. That I think there's probably some coaches that didn't get fired that normally would, just because the pool of coaches is very thin this year. So.
Yeah,
that's more of a reason to go with an FCS guy.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, no doubt about it. It's a thin pool. And, I think the thing with Napier is, what does he have left on his fastball? I mean, he was tremendous before he took the Florida job. His record was as good as any young coach in the country. He got beat up for the last 3 years. I mean, beat up down in Gainesville. Is it best for a coach like that? I think sometimes you take a year off, you get away from it, and you come back with a fresh perspective. What does he have left on his fastball? I mean, he's just jumping right back into the fire at JMU. That's a tough job to take. I mean, you don't want to take that job, in my opinion, when you're at the pinnacle. You want to take a JMU when coming off a 5-win season. You're now taking that over off of a playoff appearance. There's only one way to go if you're Billy Napier with that program, and it's pretty much down, in my opinion. So it's an interesting hire. I guess time will tell.
My guess is the AD's thoughts were probably Napier can come in and stabilize this thing. It's already at a high level. He knows how to win at the Sun Belt. He can come in and just kind of keep it going. And we don't have to – maybe the AD's thought also was we need a guy who's going to be here long-term, not looking to move on. But when you've had coaches moving on – and you've just consistently replaced them, it's not a concern. This AD maybe is not as confident as their previous AD in making hire after hire. Because, again, I go back to what I said. When you have a history of hiring FCS coaches and it working there, I don't know why you would stop doing that. Just hire the –